Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it's good afternoon today. It is the first day of May, and here in New Orleans, it is raining like nobody's business. You've never seen so much rain in exactly 10 minutes where it could flood all the way up to the houses. So I am so happy you are with us today. We have a wonderful guest. It is a doctor from the West Coast, and he'll be more than happy to tell us how lovely it is out there today. And also, we're going to be talking about sinus problems. So I think this is a really good day to do that, May 1st. Everybody thinks of May flowers, you know, April showers, May flowers, and some people like that. Some people really don't like that because they really are thinking about, oh, I'm going to be sick, and what kind of drugs am I going to need, and my kids are going to miss school. You know that story when you put 10 boxes of tissues in your car and it's like you can never find one when you need one? So that's what we'll be talking about today. And I also will be talking to Dr. Murray about sinuses in your ears, in your throat, but also not just from allergens. There's also mold in the air, which is what we have here. But there's also dryness in the air, and there's also other ways you could treat yourself. So maybe you don't have to do antibiotics. What a novel idea when you have the sniffles to not run to the doctor to be able to just get a prescription. But I also know a lot of people are very attached to that concept. If I come to you and I give you my insurance card, I really don't feel good. I definitely want to walk out with a piece of paper that says in an hour from now, I'm going to be great. So how do we really get over that hump of knowing that that may not be the best for us? And how other doctors like Dr. Murray has taken the concepts and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. Maybe that's not the best thing. Or maybe I don't want to do that every single day because I know that the patient's going to be hurt in the long run. So that's what we will be talking about today. So I hope everybody will love and find a few tips out of this. And also you will be able to have information about how to purchase Dr. Murray's book. It's Free Yourself from Sinus and Allergy Problems Permanently. So that sounds great. You know, when you get those prescriptions, you're not permanently fixed. You're just getting to the next prescription phase. So I really think that's very important to remember. So we'd like to welcome Dr. Murray, who is an ENT, ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he's from the Los Angeles area, and he will be talking to us today. So welcome, doctor.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. And could you please send us some of that rain? We need
it. Oh, I know. It could nicely wash out your air and work for your ground, but let me tell you, when this mold starts up, you don't want any of our rain.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, as you know, my concept is to use your whole person to get well. In other words, he takes the pill and he forgets to put the hot packs and do the exercises. And when he comes back to see the doctor, he says the pill didn't work. And
right.
And the doctor says, well, did you do any of the breathing exercises? Well, I didn't have time for that. Well, did you do any of the hot pack stuff? No, I didn't have time for that. But your pills did not work. And the other thing people have to remember is that when we do these very scientific double-blind studies where we give one person the real pill and the other person the sugar pill, a lot of the people on the sugar pill get exactly the same benefit. Now, how does that happen? Well, they believe the pill's going to work. They understand what the pill's supposed to do. They put their entire body into the healing. I give the example. The lady was told to take the pills three times a day, and she, you know, did this. And she was downtown and noon, and she didn't have her noon pill. Well, she canceled her trip and went back home to get the pill so she could have it three times a day. Now,
great.
That person has their entire body engaged in getting well. And the mind will produce a great deal of the healing. And so you want the mind to help you get well.
You know, I think so many times people are under the concept that whatever they're going to get from an MD, because you are an MD and I am an ND, which is a naturopathic physician, so they look at the concept, they say, oh, I'm going to go to a naturopath and it's going to, I got to do all of this stuff, and it's like, wow, man, I'm really not into that. So then they'll go to the MD because they figure he's going to cut something out, he's going to move something around, or he's going to give me this fabulous drug that, like I said in the beginning, within an hour, hey, I'm good to go. It's okay that I'm going to go to Florida, you know, next week, and, I mean, in an hour from now for a week, and I'm sneezing my brains out, but I got to get on that plane, so you need to give me that drug, and it better work. And, you know, and it's sort of like they're sticking you to this wall, and you have to perform, or the drug has to perform, instead of them having any idea or participation in this process at all.
Well, Dr. Jeanette, I'm very fortunate. My patients don't want surgery and they don't want pills. Because,
we're talking about everybody else that does. How about that? 98%.
Actually, I'm in a five-person group, and we have pioneered a lot of the snoring operations and a lot of the sinus treatments. But patients are referred to us, okay, he came in, he wants something for his allergy because the other doctor's given him allergy pills and they just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Are your air ducts clean in your bedroom?
Okay.
No, I guess they were cleaned like 15 years ago. Well, that could be a source of your allergy. Do you have carpeting in your bedroom? Yeah, we have wall-to-wall carpeting and we have heavy drapes and my wife gets around to cleaning the, you know, the carpets every now and then. Do you have
mm-hmm.
feather pillow? Yeah, we do. And does your wife have open perfume bottles in the bedroom? Yeah, as a matter of fact, she does. Do you use room deodorizers? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we do. And so on and so forth. So, in other words, allergy is arithmetic. A little bit of pollen, a little bit of fatigue, a little bit of dust, a little bit of spicy foods. I asked this guy, well, do you eat spicy food? Yeah, you know, I like hot peppers and the hot pastrami pepper this and pepper that. So I explained to him that allergy is arithmetic. In other words, on certain days, the pollen is, let's say, 10. Well, on those days, you can use perfumed lipstick. You can eat spicy foods and so on. Next day, the pollen is, let's say, 20. Well, in those days, you have to stop the perfumed lipstick and stop the hot spices and so on. Now, are you interested in my allergy cure?
Right,
would you like
yes.
to hear my allergy cure?
Yes.
It's breakfast in bed.
Yes. Oh, and that is so the truth. Yes.
Well, you see,
go ahead,
happens,
tell us about it.
Okay. Well, what happens when you have allergy, your thermostat is what I call crooked. You don't react to temperature changes in a normal way. So if when you get up, so let's say it's the allergy season, you get out of bed, hit the cold floor, walk to the bathroom, it's chilly, and your body temperature is having trouble accommodating. So in order to accommodate, you sneeze and hack, which does warm up your body, but it starts to cascade. Now, if you, before you get out of bed, you drink hot tea or hot soup or whatever, anything hot, to warm up your body. Now, when you get out of bed, you don't have this cascade because your body temperature has accommodated. So you avoid the cascade. And amazingly, a lot of patients, this is all they need. Now, you know, of course some don't, but this is what we find. The other problem with allergy is this. A lot of people carry a little bit of sinus infection. There's an area between your eyes called the ethmoid sinus. And every time we see a patient who's not responding to regular allergy therapy and so on, for example, we'll take a CAT scan, and we find that they have disease in their ethmoid sinus, and the that extra disease is what's keeping their allergy from clearing. So we put them on my gadget, the HydroPulse, where they irrigate and get the cilia of the nose working again. And, of course, the HydroPulse washes out the bad infection, and then their allergy may be much better controlled. By the way, guess where I learned about the HydroPulse?
No clue.
Have you ever heard of this Indian guru called Indra Devi? Well, Indra Devi was at a place where I was lecturing, and she demonstrated to me how she never gets sinus infection. And what she does is make saline and sniff it rhythmically in and out of her nose. And it occurred to me what she was doing was massaging the nasal membranes and getting her nasal cilia moving properly. And so that's how I developed the HydroPulse, where you irrigate and there's a pulse rate which matches the ideal pulse rate of your nasal cilia. See, in your nose and in your chest, you have millions of little hairs called cilia, and they move in a certain way to move bacteria out of your nose and out of your chest. So if you get the cilia working properly, then you don't get infected. And that's a very good general rule. And so the HydroPulse is used when people have chronic sinusitis or if they have bad allergy that's not clearing.
So for our listeners, Dr. Murray, if you could tell us the HydroPulse, and here's my vision of it, for if other people are thinking about, okay, well, I do irrigation, I do a neti pot, which many people are now starting to learn about. A neti pot is just simply in one side, out the other. It's sort of to me like you're washing your car with the rain. You're going straight through. But when you look at the HydroPulse, it has an action to it, so a give and take, like you're saying, like the pulse. And the machine itself looks just like the water pick, which if people remember that, I'm showing my age here, but a water pick was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you know, about good dental care. You would just hold it in around your teeth, and it would really clean them out really good because it was just a pulsing water. It had action to it. It wasn't just like swishing water around in your mouth and everything was good to go. The water pick actually had more pulse to it, so it did a better job. So the HydroPulse, that's what my version and how I see it. And that really is a big difference, you know, to the neti pot where a lot of people are starting to think about.
Well, you see, we don't want people to irrigate every day because you have natural healing elements in your nose that you need. Plus the fact that things like the neti pot and the squeeze bottles all have what we call flowback. At University of Pennsylvania, they did a study on people who were given instruction on how to keep these gadgets clean, and at the end of 2 weeks, they were all contaminated. So a lot of people that we see are reinfecting themselves. In one study that was reported, the doctor told all the patients to stop irrigating, and 60% of them were cured. Another tragic thing was that they sell saline spray that you spray your nose with that contains preservatives. One of them is called benzalkonium. And the benzalkonium knocks out the cilia. So at least once a week in our five-person group, we see a patient whose only problem is that they're using saline spray that has preservatives, and as soon as they go off of it, they're fine. The advantage of the HydroPulse is that once you get your cilia back to normal, you don't need to continue it because we don't need you to be more normal.
Right, and I think a lot of people do not understand that they need to, as we said in the beginning, to keep taking the drugs every time their nose itches or their nose runs is also a concept that you have to change the way you think about what's going on with yourself. You know, if you have a really high-pressure job and you're like, well, I can't be pulling the tissue out every single day, you know, there are things that you really need to consider in a treatment plan about, you know, what really or how far can this person help themselves?
Well, the other thing, too, is this thing about relaxation and stress and so on. People come in wanting a pill for stress, and it's really a sad situation because for many people, if they simply look in the mirror, count their breathing, count four, one, two, three, four, in, count six, one, two, three, four, five, six, and they learn to do this regularly. I tell them every hour on the hour, spend a minute, count your breathing, one, two, three, four, in, one, two, three, four, five, six, out. Now, this scientifically sends a message to your stress center that there ain't no stress, there ain't no tiger. And once you do this regularly, then you cut down the amount of stress hormones that you have in your body, and you have a much better immune system and a much better ability to handle allergy. Can I give you the proof of this method?
Sure.
The proof of this method is that I teach this to my scuba divers, and in scuba diving, you want to be relaxed so you don't waste the air. And my scuba divers increase their downtime tremendously. It's one of the best things ever that the scuba divers have learned.
You know, it is so important to talk about that. Also, just the fact of breathing. Just one thing back on the stress, you say, we always say this, they come in and they're looking for a pill for it, and they're calling it as a stress. Not real. They're thinking it's something outside of them that is pushing on them versus how they are and how they react to things outside themselves. You know, and that's definitely a game changer in the way you think. You know, everybody thinks, he's doing it to me, he's stressing me out, just like, you know, my house isn't this or the other, and I need to take care of it, but no, that's not part of my problem. So having your clients really look all the way around themselves and find all the triggers that could be contributing to why they came into your office in the first place, how do you take a client who really was a person who just wanted a drug to be able to bring them to this whole other side?
Well, you see, I see a lot of patients who have ringing in the ears, tinnitus. And the tinnitus is aggravated by stress behavior. So, again, I have them, I have an app called Ear Ringing Relief, and it's on iTunes. And they download the app, and they listen to this, you know, breathe in four, breathe out six. And they listen to the instruction to look in the mirror, see the face relax, see the jaw relax, see the shoulders relax. And when they do this, they're sending a message to the stress center, there ain't no tiger. So that cuts down their stress action, and they do much better. Years ago, I wrote published an article about using biofeedback for tinnitus. And biofeedback, you see how much electricity your muscles are putting out. You have a big dial, and so you just sit there and let the dial go down. Instead of putting out 30 units of muscle energy, electricity, you end up only putting out 2 units. So I tell my patients, look, if you have a lot of money, we'll send you to the biofeedback clinic, and they'll hook you up. And but worst of all, you have to pay for parking. But if you use the mirror and do the breathing, breathe in four and out six, then it'll do the same thing, and you will be relieved of your stress factor that aggravates your ringing in the ears. By the way, stress does not cause ringing in the ears, but it makes it much worse.
Right. Well, you also think about the concept of other illnesses. I mean, now they are having so much talk about inflammation being the center core of disease. But also then with cancer, they're saying it really is also a contributor of inflammation, but also oxygen starvation. You're just not getting enough oxygen into your body. So starting out and even doing simple things, I mean, your nose is where it all starts, your nose and throat. I mean, getting air and oxygen into your body, how important that is. And if it is not working, it's like you could have a sinus allergy today, you could have sinus infections the next few years, and then eventually end up with something more significant because things do progress.
Well, this is so true. We pioneered a lot of the snoring procedures, and people just don't understand how important it is to breathe well when you go to bed at night. Now, we have a 10-cent cure for snoring, and we have the 50-cent cure for snoring. would you like to hear the 10-cent
yes,
cure?
Yes, what are they?
Okay. The 10-cent cure for snoring, a lot of people, the nose droops severely, and
right. That
drooping nose acts to cut off a valve. And so by simply lifting up the tip of the nose when you go to bed at night, opening up that valve helps you get rid of snoring. And so for 10 cents, you buy this half-inch tape, which, by the way, when you buy the HydroPulse, you get the tape with it. and then you simply elevate the tip of the nose so that the airway is opened. And for many people, that's the cure for their snoring. Now, the 50-cent cure, we want to hear that?
Yes.
Okay. The 50-cent cure is to take an old tennis ball, sew it into a T-shirt, and wear it on your back when you go to bed at night. See, when you lay flat in bed, the tongue falls back, and the uvula, that's that guy that hangs down the back of your throat, falls back. And this can block your breathing. So if you turn on your left side, then the tongue falls forward and opens up the airway, and is pretty much a cure for snoring. And, of course, you've heard, she punches him when he snores and he turns over on his left side. Well,
right. That
does work. And but for most people, they have nasal congestion. And for them, we really urge them to clear that up because, again, the more your nose is congested, the less good sleep you lose. The more you have to struggle to breathe because your nose is plugged up, the more your stomach contracts and pushes acid up into your throat, which makes the snoring much worse. So the idea is to prevent snoring problems and get good sleep. And the number one thing for that is, again, clearing up the nose, which... Of course, I recommend my HydroPulse because a lot of the phlegm drips down into your throat, causes the throat to be swollen, and that also contributes to the bad snoring.
You know, if we could touch a little, let's talk a little bit on sleep apnea, okay?
Sure.
And what I have found prior to Hurricane Katrina, okay, some of the older people in the area or some of the people who had smoking issues or lived with smokers, those would tend to be the people with those issues on sleeping, and they would all have their CPAP machines. And I found that after Katrina, there was a significant, and I mean significant across the board, young 5, 6, 7 ages, all the way up to 80s and 90s, of rapidly increasing unexplained seizures. And they could not find out what was going on. And people, I mean, my husband is a perfect example of this because this is what happened to him also. But they would just have a seizure sitting there and all of a sudden no answers, no nothing. And random times, morning, noon, night, no pattern, no food, nothing was going to be a pattern. And one time when I had taken him to the hospital, he would just all of a sudden sit up and just plain have a seizure. And it was after a cold. And he would start to cough, and then he would have this seizure, and he would fall flat on the ground. Well, until the, like, it was 4 or 5 days maybe afterwards, and he actually got a big, huge gash on his head when he finally hit the floor again for the 100th time. I said, that's it. I'm not stitching that up. We're going to the ER. And as soon as you walk in, they give you all the drugs and everything, and they say, oh, we don't know. We think it's just sleep apnea. And this is a diagnosis that they've been randomly giving all these people, is you have sleep apnea. Well, kind of, we were, you're crazy, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. So he took the drugs, and he took it for a year, but he also got his machine. And what I found was that, and speaking to other people and for his experience too, is this machine, it decreased by putting that mask on. What if something he was allergic to in the room, and we later figured it out, it was mold, because we had gone into an office building not 2 days before this process started, and I said, oh, man, it really stinks in here. I don't want to go in here. And he said, oh, no, you're only going for half an hour. Shut up, sit down, kind of idea. And that happened afterwards, and it was exposure to mold. But once he started on this machine, it stopped, because he didn't have them anymore, because it had filtered out the air. And other people started to figure this out in this area, is that the mold was actually causing the seizures, which was but just a simple sleep apnea machine, it was like, whoa, that just made a huge difference.
Well, you know, mold after Katrina is quite serious. As a matter of fact, my company, Hydromed, offered free hydropulse machines for people who were bothered by the mold in their, you know, sinuses. And the thing about mold is, of course, ideally, you know, get it dried out and so on and so forth, but you can also purchase some of these filters. As you breathe, it filters out the mold. Some of these masks are very useful. And but the important thing about the mold, too, is the bedroom. In other words,
right.
If you can get your bedroom free, and it's really worth getting one of those drying units, drying out the bedroom, and getting that area clear. But, you know, you also have to be careful about things like towels. You know, you hang a towel up and it doesn't dry, then the mold will grow on it. And
right.
You also have to be very careful about the closets. I hope everyone knows to burn light in their closet. The
mm-hmm.
light will inhibit the mold generation. That's very important.
And but you know, the machine itself acted like such a wonderful barrier, because, you know, you wouldn't be sleeping and breathing in anything in that room. So now the sleep apnea people here in the breathing machines, they go through the roof. I mean, everybody that walks into many doctor's offices, ENTs, that's the first thing you're given. Hey, here, take this home and sleep with it, you know, because it really, for a half of, you know, half of your 24 hours, you were breathing clean, fresh air.
That's very good. On the other hand, if you're not obstructed, maybe just mm-hmm. You know, regular air would be filtered air would just be adequate, because the purpose of the CPAP is to force air past
mm-hmm.
the collapsed throat and the collapsed nose. So in my situation here in Los Angeles, where we don't have mold, we avoid the CPAP machine by using the hydropulse for the nose and the throat pulsation for the throat to get the throat muscles strong. We also strengthen the throat muscles by voice exercises. That's in my book, but basically you go things like that, and you blow a like a trumpet or similar instrument, and you stick your tongue on the roof of your mouth and go through the vowels, A-E-I-O-U. All that makes the throat muscles stronger and helps prevent obstructive sleep apnea. By the way,
definitely. It definitely is an issue. And, I mean, I think so many more people are having the issues because maybe in your practice, you know, you have the clients have taken care of themselves slowly all along. But I think in other practices, people have kind of done the prescriptions all the way, and all of a sudden they hit a wall, and that's like, you know what, dude, just take this thing home and breathe, you know? It's like,
yeah, well,
you know?
Well, you have to, yeah, well, you have to be careful. You know, back in 1900, all Southerners were considered lazy, good for nothing. And then they found they had hookworm infection. And when they cleared up the hookworm, they were like everybody else. So recently they did a study on children with attention deficit. And what happened was, for various reasons, they had to have their adenoids out because they were also obstructed. Turns out that once they got their adenoids out, they were no longer attention deficit. And these were people, these are kids that were diagnosed by the, you know, the best. Same thing here. She was diagnosed chronic fatigue syndrome. Well, I found out, I examined her, and she had, you know, very bad gum disease. They got the gum disease cleared up, and guess what? She's no longer fatigued. So you really have to look at all the different, you know, situations. I mean, the reason people, you know, feel so good after, you know, the HydroPulse clears up their sinus because they're no longer fighting a bad infection in their sinuses. And that can be very, very important.
You know, I think it was sometimes, too, they always say the drug worked for like the 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later they got it again. Well, it never actually cleared it up or helped. All it really did was alleviate the symptoms that you were screaming about. You know, and so many people do that. And then you have the rebound, I mean, which you can talk about a little bit. Too many antibiotic syndrome?
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, another thing, too, antibiotics are getting weaker and the bugs are getting stronger. So it really is important to use the whole body to get yourself well. And again, I bring the example of the patients that were on the sugar pills had exactly the same result as the people who took the real pill. And why did that happen? I'm repeating myself, but some enthusiasm, following the instructions. You've seen these ads for Chantix. That's that thing,
right,
where, you know, stop you smoking. Well, they reported, FDA approved, that people who took the Chantix did stop smoking for a year, 44% of them. But 20% of the people who took the sugar pills also stopped smoking. Now, for me, what is important is, what about the 56% of the people who took the real pill and didn't stop smoking? Did they do the exercise?
Right.
Did they do the breathing that they were supposed to do? Did they visualize themselves getting well, and so on? You know, there's a lot written about visualization. And visualization, you're supposed to remember that you were down at the beach, just on July 4th. That doesn't work. In order to visualize properly, you have to use all of your senses. That day at the beach, feel the sand, recall the sound of the waves, recall the smell of the ocean, taste the hot dog, and so on. When you do that, then you do replicate the good chemistry.
And it definitely is an extra effort for everybody to do. And I really believe that if you do take that time, you're really taking care of yourself. We talk about that all the time, about how much time have you given yourself. Yesterday I had spoken with a woman. She said she had cancer twice. And we had spoken about it. And I said, well, how many times in that? It wasn't like you just got cancer in 6 months, okay? You know, it didn't just like all of a sudden it appeared. And she says, no, she said, I probably looked back at it, and maybe about 10 years, my body was sending me some signals, and I just kept on going because I was on that train, you know. I wasn't looking at the street signs. I just kept going, whether it was in the right direction or the wrong. And I think, you know, when people really need to realize you really do need to participate in your health. I mean, taking 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, are you kidding? That's how much time you sit in your car yelling at somebody. Or you can add up how many commercials you watch on TV in a day. It's got to be more than that. So, you know, how much time you should take for yourself is very important.
Well, you know, one of the best cures for a common cold is Netflix.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yes.
I mean, she goes, she's coming down with a cold, she goes out in the rain and she buys the nasal sprays and the cough syrup and the nose sprays and the drops and so on and so forth. Her sister is coming down with a cold. She goes to bed, turns on the TV, watches a good comedy, laughs about it, and the next morning she feels much better. Remember, Norman Cousins, a famous author, was in UCLA, which is a pretty good hospital, and they could not get him well. And so his friends in those days brought in a projector, had him watch comedies. He started laughing, and he got well. And he started this whole field of psychoneuroimmunology, which means that in every hospital room now, they have two comedy channels. Why do they do that? Because laughing and humor gets you well. So instead of going to the hospital, you should watch comedies at home. I mean,
you know,
I had
my
patient.
Go ahead.
I had a patient years ago, and he came to see me for his bad headaches. I said, "Well, when do you get your headaches?" He said, "About 7 o'clock in the evening." "Well, what do you do at 6 o'clock in the evening?" "Well, I watch the war news." And I get so angry that there's things going on over there and so on and so forth. I say, "Okay, from now on, you can only watch Ozzie and Harriet and I Love Lucy. That's the only thing you're allowed to watch." And guess what? His headaches got better. I have a famous story. Again, this patient was having all kinds of problems. And again, one of his problems was that he was grinding his teeth. I said, "Okay, from now on, when you drive," and he had this long trip home, you know, driving. So anyway, he had a long commute. So I said, "I want you to listen to music when you're in the car, and don't listen to the news." Well, I saw him about 2 months later, and his entire life had changed. His entire life. What happened was that he was listening to music from his childhood. He had, you know, come here from Iran. And, of course, he missed his homeland and so on. And he'd had all these emotional and actually social problems. But when he listened to the childhood music, his body chemistry was back to when he was a happy child. And he did relax, and he did change his chemistry, and he did get well.
And that definitely takes it. It's sort of like... you know, when people say they have a really bad stomach ache, you see them clenching their stomach, you know? So it's when you have something going on with your head, everybody's holding on to their head. But when you are, you know, in that phase of, okay, I'm just going to relax and enjoy, or like you said, with the laughter and the humor and comedy, that just relaxes all of those other areas of your body. You aren't holding on to it so much, so say, either physically or, you know, emotionally or mentally, and it just relaxes and tends to work better.
Well, one problem is when I tell somebody to relax, what are they supposed to do? You really have to do the breathing, the measured breathing. You really have to do the mirror visualization. You know, see your face and jaw and shoulders relax. And you really have to recall a very happy situation using all of your senses. For example, just making a smile can be therapeutic. You know, when John Lennon was killed, his widow was, of course, very, very depressed, which she should be. But her doctor said, "Look, if you stay depressed, you have a child to raise, and you're going to get sick. I want you to simply smile. You know, you don't have to smile when anybody's around, but just make the physical act of smiling. I want you to listen to, you know, comedies, whatnot. I know you're depressed. I know you're unhappy, but the health of your health and the health of your child is important. Well, she did all that, and now she's a real force for getting other people to do what she did, because she did not get sick, as other people have, when they're widowed in such a tragic circumstance.
It definitely can
make a change.
By the way,
I don't own stock in Netflix.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. We won't hold you to it. So here's another topic I'd like to possibly reflect on, is kids these days. I'm not sure if you see many kids, but I have found in the past, and I would say it's been the past 3 years, I have not seen this so prevalent as it has been the past 3 years. And these are children who are now ages 1 to 4. And what I'm finding is they have strep throat almost all the time. They have significant colds. I mean, like blowouts, like nobody's business. They go to the doctor. They get their antibiotics. 2 weeks later, they have this rash all over them. They go back to the doctor, and the doctor sends them to the dermatologist now. And then the dermatologist is going to give them some more medications. So now they're on this paradigm where they have two doctors. And then another 2 weeks later, they're back again for another strep. And I'm finding that this cycle is not getting broken. And I have kids, they're in their 20s and 30s. My kids had croup. And boy, the people in the emergency room knew me. Here she is again. And they're like, well, is he better now that, you know, the cold air? We lived in the north at the time. And it was like, yeah, he's better, but I'm not leaving until you give him a breathing treatment anyway, you know, because I knew I would have just gotten home and he wouldn't be better. So I stayed a while. But these families now are not having croup so much, but they're having all of this throat stuff going on. And I see all the parents saying, well, you know, he's got a cold. Use that little squeeze thing on his nose. And we do. Parents do that. And then they turn out with these skin conditions like nobody's business. So I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Well, okay. In West Germany and East Germany, they had different health situations. In East Germany, you know, if you were dying, you might get an antibiotic, but that was about it. In West Germany, anytime the kid sneezed, they got a shot of penicillin, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because West Germany had this wonderful health program. They had wonderful doctors. And then East Germany, you know, it was catch as catch can.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the East and West Germany, and of course, the people were identical. The food was pretty much identical. And the conditions basically were much worse in East Germany because they didn't have the cleanliness, the good housing, and so on and so forth. What happened? In West Germany, the kids got asthma. And in East Germany, they didn't. Why? Because in East Germany, the kids went through the standard getting immune systems and so on and so forth, getting a cold, getting over it, and so on and so forth. In West Germany, they didn't have the opportunity to build up this natural immunity because every time they sneezed, they got a shot of penicillin. So the idea of giving antibiotics anytime the kid sneezes is totally wrong. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't help the kid, but really and truly, I mean, when I say Netflix is the best thing for a cold, I'm very serious. But seriously, for a cold, I also, you know, tea, lemon, and honey. Now, why tea? Oh, by the way, it has to be green or black. Because tea, green or black, has a certain product called L-theanine, which is really great for stimulating the cilia, and it's also great for improving your immunity. And why lemon? Well, lemon thins the mucus. And why honey? Because honey is bacteriostatic. So all that given with a cold can usually get people well. And, of course, lots of fluid and bed rest and so on. And this is very important. In every journal article today, they talk about not snowballing the kid with antibiotics when they have an ear complaint. And this is terribly important. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, antibiotics are really great if you need them, and so on and so forth. But gosh, we do a culture today, and we're lucky if one of the antibiotics shows out positive.
Right. Well, there's so many times, too, with kids where all the kid needs to do is scream, and the parents think they're in the pain. Sort of like, hey, maybe your kid just feels like screaming, or maybe they are hurting, but see how long that lasts, you know? So it goes back to that paradigm, too. Is this the child that might need the medication or the parents sometimes? But also we always think, too, is that parents need to know that what's in the nose can go into the eyes, can go into the throat. So, you know, if kids are around people that have, you know, are sick or whatever, and the kid's picking their nose constantly and rubbing their eyes or putting their hands in their mouth, these germs all end up in places that they might not normally end up in an adult.
That's true. And the other thing, too, is that this concept of blowing your nose and getting the stuff out of your nose is totally bad, because what happens is the kid blows too hard. And when he blows too hard, he forces the bacteria into his deep sinuses. So we tell the parents, don't blow your nose at all, period. I mean, you know, it's give the body a chance to heal. And, of course, drink the tea, lemon, and honey. By the way, what's the best cure for sinus? It's humming, because when you go and get that good vibration, that stimulates your cilia. And maybe that's all you need.
They go absolutely crazy. I think parents reach out to almost anything, because when you take kids to daycare, it's like, oh, well, she has a runny nose. Can't bring her here, you know? And that definitely does drive a lot of parents coming in for prescriptions.
Well, again, I suppose I'm sort of lucky that I practice an area where the people really don't want to be overcome with pills. Because, see, like with ringing in the ears, you can give Xanax and all these, you know, red-hot Valium-type medications, and the person will feel better. But I use the analogy, he's got a toothache. Well, as long as he takes codeine, he's okay. So he keeps on taking codeine with his toothache instead of going to the doctor and to the dentist and getting the you know, the cavity filled. And this is what you really have to you know, be careful about, because simply hiding the symptom is a bad idea. And you know, I kind of pat myself on the back. I've done surgery, of course, and, you know, rhinoplasties and whatnot. And I do give the patient the pain medication, but I also put them on an antihistamine to dry out the nose and reduce the swelling and reduce any kind of pain. So the 16-year-old comes back after a week after the surgery. Did you have any pain? No, but I, you know, I kind of slept a whole lot. Well, they slept because of the Benadryl, and they did not get hooked on pain pills.
Right.
I pat myself on the back. That's doing something very, very good there.
And that is definite, because then in their mind, they're thinking, when it hurts, next time I'm going to have that same, or reach for that same bottle, and that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, and again, this thing about blowing your nose too hard, I use the analogy, that's like rubbing your eyes too hard. And, but it's a vicious circle. The more you blow your nose hard, the more, you know, it irritates you. The more it irritates you, the more you blow your nose hard. And that's, again, one of the no-nos. But again, you know, if a child is does come from an allergic family and does have, you know, bad blockage, it's a good idea to really consider allergy desensitization, because you don't want this kid to develop into a bad asthma. And we do tend to recommend that. On the other hand, dustproofing the bedroom may be all that's needed for the allergy. Now, one thing everyone has to remember, allergy is arithmetic. It's okay to use to use lipstick with an odor when the pollen is low, but as the pollen count gets up, if you add spicy foods, if you add perfumes and so on and so forth, then you get symptoms. If you reduce the perfume and reduce the aftershave lotion and so on, you may not have any symptoms. And so of course, if you get good sleep.
Everything is contributing to the whole, as we've said in the beginning of the show. So, Dr. Murray, could you give us a little bit of information about how someone may find out more information about you, where to purchase your book, and definitely to find out about the HydroPulse machine?
Yes, my website is www.grossan.com. It has the information about the book and the HydroPulse and the other great things that we have. one of which is Clearys, which is papaya and pineapple enzyme that you melt in your mouth and it takes down the swelling. I think I told you I specialize in scuba divers, and scuba divers can't take drugs. So we developed this Clearys, which opens up the nose and the eustachian tube so they're not bothered by plugged ears when they're scuba diving. And it's good for pilots, too. And a lot of people who couldn't fly use this, and they're able to fly.
And, you have so much information. And is this all on the website? They'll be able to find that out?
Yes. There's two websites, actually, www.grossan.com, and there's www.grossaninstitute.com. A lot of the stuff that we talked about is on that website. And it's a blog, and there's a lot of stuff on ringing the ears and asthma and using the whole person to get well.
You know, I can say from my experience when my kids were smaller, we have a genetic issue, and we had a lot of significant allergies when the kids were very, very tiny, like 2, 3, 4 months. And you know how when you have your kids and you have all your little stuffed animals, this is in the 70s and 80s, you have all your stuffed animals out and you have cushy blankets and you have the side bumpers and, you know, all that other stuff. We had to learn really quickly what it meant to have a baby's room. It was wood floors, nothing on the windows, a crib with this $400 or $500 mattress in there and nothing else. You know, how drastic do you go when you need to? But the children went up and didn't have all that much.
Well, it's interesting. I'm addicted to this House and Gardens TV show where people go in and they want to buy a house and they find all these things. And it's interesting, now nobody wants a house with wall-to-wall carpets. People have learned that this stuff, you know, breeds allergy, and they don't want their kids, you know, playing on carpets that are full of fungus and dust. It's kind of interesting how she sees the house and it's got wall-to-wall carpeting, and she says, "No, I want wood floors." Period. So people have learned. People have learned, you know, to avoid smoking and when they can, and people have also learned to avoid excessively spicy food. And of course, people have learned to avoid food that's fat.
They're learning, and it's taking a while, and the stuffed animals is definitely another, because now they just have stuffed animals you can throw in the washing machine every day instead of, I'm sure you remember those old ones, you put them in the washing machine, they're dead, you have to throw them away. You know, so things have changed, and I think people will learn. It just takes a while. And, you know, how sick do you have to be until you be able to say, "Whoa, maybe I have to hit the wall, and I'm here, I can't figure it out, and I need to look at something different."
Well, again, people come to me for pills for dizziness, and I send them to learn Tai Chi, because in Tai Chi you're taught your balance, and once you practice that, then you're not going to fall, and that's so much better than taking those damn pills.
Isn't the truth, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so many people have said, well, I don't have insurance. I can't go find this information out. I think by reading your book, by looking at your website, there's a whole lot of information there that people can just, you don't need insurance to be able to start doing something for yourself.
That's exactly true. And once you learn things like avoiding benzalkonium and nasal spray, instead use my Breathe XL nasal spray, which does not have benzalkonium. That's a plug, by the way. It's kind of funny when I tell people to purchase my Breathe XL nasal spray. I have to tell them now, by the way, I make a profit on it. And you'll be amazed. Well, people will say, well, you should, you know. And what's even funnier is that people come in wanting the hydropulse. And
yes.
I'll talk them into some simple, you know, hot tea, lemon, honey. They don't need the hydropulse or doing the humming. So it works both ways.
Well, I definitely have enjoyed this hour with you, Dr. Murray, and I think it's so important for people, like we said, to really hone in on what you can do, hone in on what's really going on around you, not just, you know, hey, I'm sick, I'm sitting down, and I'm ready to go, you know? So I think that is really wonderful with all the tips you've shared with us today. Is there anything else you'd like to share with anyone?
Yes, be sure to smile.
Yes.
And practice humor. No, it really makes a difference. You can go on the web and get all these jokes and tell people about them, send them on to email, because it does raise your immunity.
You know what was my favorite show to laugh at? And this may or may not work, but it works for me. You remember Archie Bunker?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, it so reminded me of my past, you know, with relatives and all that. It was just a great thing because you would just remember your, like we said in the beginning, you remember your past, and you just thought it was just funny because you've heard it all before.
Well, for some people on my Air Ringy Relief app, we asked them to remember when they were fully relaxed. And
right.
For some people, it was when they were fishing. For some people, it was when they were at Disneyland and so on. But when they do that, they do replicate the same chemistry they had at that time. And that can make a difference in so many ills.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to thank you so much for being with us today. And
my pleasure.
Again,
my pleasure.
If anybody would like to know more information, I have put Dr. Murray's information and his links on this show page. You just go right down to the bottom of the description of the show for today, and you can click on his links. So, Dr. Murray, thank you so much for being with us today.
And thank you, Dr. Jeanette. Bye now.
Thank you. And I sure hope you have a good day, and I'll just send you some rain because you know what? It's getting really dark out, and there's a tornado warning, so we're ready to go at a good time.
Oh, no. Stay dry. Bye now.
Yes. Thank you so much. So to everyone who would like more information about Dr. Murray, like I have said, his website to be able to purchase his book is on the show page description. His information about his website's also there. On his website, you can find out about the HydroPulse and several of the other items he mentioned today. There's so many tips and so many descriptions in this book. It is absolutely the greatest thing to make a start. And it's not something that you have to sit down and read like, oh, man, there's just too much to read, you know, and this is too overwhelming for me. You can read two or three pages and say, no, that might be something that I can do. So I would encourage you to try out his book, and until tomorrow, we will be on with another topic, and I just love to just do this to give you some ideas to maybe think about your health issues in a different way. So until tomorrow, have a great day.